Hey guys, this is David. The wormhole has struck again. Apparently, the cables were not to blame, or not completely the blame in the audio issues we've been having. So it's either the mixer or the recorder. So it'll take us a little bit longer to get those replaced, so thank you for your patience and bearing with us. This time it's only a couple minutes at the beginning. It's a little bit fuzzy, but it clears up pretty quick, and it's not that bad, and you can pretty much understand everything. So, hope you enjoy the episode. Thanks. Bye. Welcome to Synthaholics, your weekly shot of Star Trek. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
I'm gonna
join a Klingon group and start a bloodletting ritual. All right, Dad.
Son, now that's very inappropriate. Why don't you go make some Vulcan friends?
Vulcans are pansies. I want to join these freaking rockhead Klingons.
I'm gonna get a second dick.
Why not? Well, Dave.
Hello, Aaron. Holly's not with us this week.
Holly's not. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Holly wishes she could be here. She had surgery earlier this week.
They cut off her feet.
Yes.
She's footless.
She's footloose.
Footloose. Gonna get loose. Footloose.
And they had to put a tube in her throat, and so her throat's super scratchy, and she's not feeling super great from all that. So she's...
Why do you need tubes in your throat if they're cutting her feet off?
So she can walk on them.
Mm.
Breathe through them.
Mm.
The tube goes all the way down.
Okay.
Just like the spots on Jadzia.
Yeah. Well, that's I hope for a speedy recovery for Holly.
Hope you feel better, Holly. We love you.
Love you. Get better.
Come back and join us in the debauchery.
Yes, we are going to be talking about Voyager, the episode Real Life.
Real Life.
This is like...
It's as real as it gets.
Real shitty. I hate to put my stamp of...
Disapproval on
so soon, but...
So soon.
This one, I just kept screaming as I watched this.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yes. I'm sorry if you liked this episode. I could not find a redeeming quality about this, but we'll get into it. Why not?
The doctor couldn't even save it for you?
You know, he's good, but it's not a very fun story. It's like, what the
And then it just kicks you in the balls at the end.
Yeah.
And then it's like, fuck you, see you later.
See you later.
And that's it. I was like, what? That's it?
Fuck you.
And it never comes up ever again.
The only real news I saw about Star Trek Discovery was Javier Boltlet is he's been cast in Discovery. He does a lot of like full prosthetic suits. He's super skinny, super lanky. He plays a lot of horror films. Like he played in Slender Man and a whole bunch of other stuff like that.
He's a very Doug Jones type character,
yeah,
actor.
I think him and Doug Jones are like good friends or something like that. But he's a really unusual looking guy, even with his makeup off.
So what do you do when you put the prosthetics all the way up and you have to pee?
You hold it.
Oh, okay.
You don't pee
out your mouth.
You don't drink a lot of coffee before you suit up, so.
No.
So he said he's going to play some kind of weird alien creature. So.
I wonder if it could be another Kelpian, or maybe the Kelpian antagonist race.
This guy does some pretty wild stuff, so I could see him doing something really bizarre. Maybe he's playing the Red Angel, or one of the Red Angels.
Oh.
I don't know. But it's not, obviously, it's secret. So,
I wonder if the Red Angels are going to be aliens or hallucinations.
mushroom trips.
What does God need with the starship?
What does God need?
Are those God's angels?
Those are the archangels from God.
The archangels from Star Trek V, God. Oh, we gotta have some Cybok if it ties into Shahari.
God, I hope Cybok shows up.
Oh,
please have him show up.
I want to see the family picture.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, did you get to watch the short trek?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you still didn't watch the short trek?
I'll see it sooner or later.
One day.
Yeah, I just had, honestly, I haven't booted up All Access yet, so I just haven't really paid much attention.
Maybe just watch it when we're done here. And I'll throw it off for it. It's like 10 minutes.
Whatever. Yeah, so that's about it for news. Nothing crazy since I'm sure something will explode just after we release this episode.
Oh, that's usually how it goes. But with Discovery and Season 2 coming, like now that we've got two trailers, do you have any like aspirations, hopes, and dreams? Like what's to come from like what we've seen?
I'm hoping it doesn't suck.
Hope it doesn't suck. This is what I'm hoping for episode 9. It comes out on my birthday in 2019. Like pray to God, Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm that it doesn't suck. I want a good birthday.
So the further away I got from season 1, I've got this kind of like what the fuck happened thing going on. That's my feeling.
Like because of the ending of the show or
just the whole thing. I mean, it all made sense when you walk away from it, but it's just so fragmented and so just like patchwork, you know, thrown together. And I really just felt in the end that it wasn't as satisfying as I hoped before. There's something about Star Trek that makes you hits at a certain sweet spot, and they just never hit that sweet spot for me. I'm hoping that maybe something shows. I just, you know what it is? There's plenty of sci-fi action adventure. And I expect...
And almost no Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't expect every episode to be, you know, a typical just like, you know, people talking and, you know...
Going on holodecks and having fake families.
Yeah, you don't expect that all the time, but it shouldn't all be shoot 'em up stuff. So I'm hoping this kind of changes it. I don't know. I have a lot of reservations now. Now, the further away I get.
Even more reservations? Because I mean, when we talked about them fresh, we had plenty of reservations as we talked about it.
More so, yeah.
Oh, really? It's gotten worse.
I haven't rewatched them. I know you've rewatched them more than I have.
I've started rewatching them with Kaylee. We're only like on episode 5.
Yeah.
It's been a couple weeks since we watched
and
it.
And I know you watched some, again, with Holly as well.
I watched it with Holly, too.
But no, I've been away from it, and
are you gonna rewatch it before season 2 starts?
I don't know if I really want to put myself through it, honestly. I just was not walking away from it. Now I'm just not as in love with it as I thought I would be. I thought it would grow on me, and there's certain episodes that were great, and there's certain characters I like, and there's certain aspects I like, but a lot of it now, 2020, with everything I know now, makes me go like, you guys are just kind of like,
oh, especially with the tardigrade thing.
You know what it's like? It's like
that probably really colored you because, I mean, the tardigrade.
Yeah, no.
And it's not even an original concept.
It's not
it's like a ripoff.
They ripped off somebody
game.
Else. You know what it is? It's like you're having maybe a birthday dinner and you go to a fancy restaurant and they're like, oh, we're going to get you your favorite meal here. You love this meal, Dave. You're going to love it. And so you sit down and you eat it. And then somehow you can go back in time and you can watch all the shenanigans, what happened to your meal as the chefs prepared it. And you kind of go like, oh, I ate that? Not that it was terrible, but it colored
the experience.
Yes, and then you're like, oh, I don't really like that. So that's where I'm at. What about you? I mean, I don't want to be like a downer, but this is where I'm at right now.
Like, the second trailer got me super excited. The first trailer was like, okay, but the second trailer's really got me pumped with the angels. It's been explained what they kind of are. Yeah, the Spock thing seems like an interesting angle. I don't know what they're doing with Stamets. Like, I feel like they have to use him for the spore drive because they said the angels are so far away, you can't get there with traditional warp.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I feel like they have to use him. But, like, in the trailer, it looks like he's some kind of mad scientist now with some kind of, like, soul-sucking gun or something like that that he shoots at Telly and sucks.
Why not?
Like, it's just like, what is he doing? What is going on with Stamets? Like, that's what... I think that's what's on my mind most in the trailer. Is like, what is wrong with Stamets?
What is wrong with Stamets? Maybe the tardigrade DNA is getting into his brain now.
We're thinking with portals.
Is. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things to look forward to for sure, and the trailer's interesting.
It's nice seeing Rebecca Romijn as number one. You know, seeing she looks great as number one.
She's
like,
very, very convincing. Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's lots of things to be
said. Pike seems a little weird. He seems a little bit like, hey, man, let's go out in space, you know?
Well, it's a 180 from the depressed Pike from 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's like, Doctor, I'm going to hang up my uniform.
I'm going to hang up my spurs.
And I'm just going to go and ride my horses on, you know, Vega Colony or whatever he was at.
And fuck as many green women as I can before I go.
Right.
It's just weird. It's like, and it's nothing like the Bruce Greenwood version of Pike either, where he's very, like, fatherly figure and mature. Like, this Pike seems like... almost like he's trying to be more like Kirk. He's like really gung-ho and like really excited. Even more so than Kirk. Because yeah. Kirk was never like...
Kirk wasn't just silly.
Kirk wasn't excited like in that way. Kirk was very... It was serious, sort of. But I mean, like, this Pike seems very like almost like... Woo!
Yeah. I don't know. I just... Like, there's a lot of it.
Did he get some Bendai syndrome?
Do you have Bendai syndrome? And that's the other thing. Are they going to turn Pike into a villain? Are they going to turn Pike into some kind of madman?
I hope they turn him Section 31, because I really like that Michelle Yeoh's there and the way he talks to her. It's like you're happy to be back in the saddle. And so, like, if she's there, it's going to be known that she's...
Well, obviously, like, Section 31, so I mean...
Well, yeah, I mean, because of that deleted scene. But I mean, like, if she's there and she's on the Discovery and, like, she's got to spill the beans to Michael, because Michael's like, I'm going to lock you up. And she's like, bitch, please, I got a black badge. What do you got? What do you got? It supersedes anything you could ever do. Like, it's so it's just, and Pike seems like he knows what's going on. So I wonder if Pike is in on Section 31 and maybe Michael will get in on Section 31.
I don't know. I hope we're not getting another commanding officer who is like, oh, he's a turd, you know?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I feel like Discovery's thing is we're going to get, like, this is like... My prediction, we're going to get a different captain every season until Michael becomes captain, which will probably be like season 5.
Well, maybe Saru will be captain next season or something.
And then they'll kill him, and then Michael becomes captain season 4. Like, I mean, I don't see Michael being captain until... Because I feel like that's the Discovery is going to be the new... Discovery thing is going to be the new thing. Like, switch, get a new captain every season. Because, I mean, that way it's like oh, what's going to happen next time? Because, like, Pike's only there because he's commandeering the ship. So, I mean, like, Pike commandeers the ship to go save Spock. And then he leaves, mm-hmm. and they go to Vulcan and pick up whoever that original captain was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Or maybe number one, Rebecca Romijn, comes over and becomes captain of Discovery at the end of season
two. Or Cybok becomes captain.
Cybok becomes captain and wants to go to Shakari. He finds his magical space horse.
Yeah.
Which is how he knows the Enterprise so well.
Do we think that Discovery is going to go past season two?
Alex Kurtzman's got the 5-year Star Trek mission.
Doesn't mean... Discovery will make it. I mean, we just got news that Iron Fist wasn't going to go to season 3.
Oh, who watched Iron Fist? I didn't.
I watched it, but whatever.
Of the Defenders, like when I did watch the Defenders, and he was my least favorite character by far. I was going to watch Iron Fist based on what I thought of the Defenders.
Yeah, granted, Iron Fist is not probably the most...
Every single time he opened his mouth in Defenders, I cringed. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to watch that show now.
Granted... there's some wonderful comic book Iron Fists that are out there. They're really worth reading. That's why I felt that some of the casting and stuff like that for Iron Fist was a disservice to the character. But whatever. I mean, maybe.
I think Discovery will go. I mean, like, I don't think they're gonna. I don't think they can cancel it this soon. I mean, it's just. I mean, like,
well, after the Picard series, if that's successful and whatever else they have online,
and the Picard series, they revealed it's not going to be a one-off. They said it's going to be multiple seasons. It's not the limited series they're talking about.
Yeah, I just think at his age, though, how much is he really going to be doing?
I don't know. I mean, like, that's the thing. You know, building a show around an older cast member, that's risky.
Quite old too, you know. He's in his mid-70s.
Yeah. So I mean, like, having him come back, I mean, it's going to be really risky. They're going to have to pump those up quick if they want to get more than a couple seasons
out
of him.
Right.
I mean, Hopefully, I mean, like, you know, they said they want a Star Trek on year round. So, I mean, it'd be easier to keep Discovery going than spin up a new show.
Yeah, right.
You know, because if they get Discovery, the Picard show, the Star Trek Academy, and whatever else they're talking about doing, animated series, yeah. like have like, you know, that way you've got four shows, you cycle them on like once a quarter.
Yeah,
you know, you keep it that way. You've got the
no, it's a great idea if they can do it, and hopefully All Access will. And I know they announced the Twilight Zone with.
They've been talking about that since season one, though.
No, but what's his name? The guy from who wrote Get Out? Key and Peele. What the hell's his name? I can't think of it right now. It's just escaped me. But
he won an Oscar, and
I love Get Out.
I never saw it.
Oh, it's so fun! It's not really a horror movie. It's sort of a suspense thriller. But I mean, there's slight horror element.
I mean, the way the trailer looked, it seemed on the horror-ish side. But
it seems like it's not like it's not really over the top. It's okay. It's not like there's nothing really gross in it from what I remember.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and they had the guy in it from that Black Mirror episode.
Oh, it's great.
The bike riding episode.
I'm telling you, if you watch it, you won't be disappointed. It's a fun movie. Yeah. So anyways, Discovery, I'm just casually hedging my bets. Just like, we'll see what it is.
Well, I mean, the first seasons are always rough on Star Trek.
I agree. So that's why I'm giving it a benefit of the doubt. Oh, I'm not.
And we know they plagiarized, and we know they had three different writing teams that quit or like let go or got fired.
I know.
And they all plagiarized, so it's just like
I know.
And you know, with Harberts and Berg being let go.
Mm-hmm.
That really makes me excited because they're the last remnants of the terrible.
But Kurtzman and Orchie
isn't involved. It's just Kurtzman.
Orchie will be back in. Just so you see.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure Kurtzman and Orchie broke up.
Really?
after Star Trek Into Darkness, I'm pretty sure they broke up. Then I think that's when they stopped working together collaboratively.
Yeah, but Kurtzman doesn't strike me as
the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree.
Yeah,
but
he's got cachet.
I don't super trust Kurtzman, but Gretchen and Berg were part of that Brian Singer or Brian Fuller.
Brian Fuller, yeah.
Not Singer, not the pedophile. No. Brian Fuller's in.
Maybe. We don't know.
Oh, it hasn't come out yet, Mr. Fuller, but maybe. So I don't know. I'm kind of glad they're out because I didn't like Brian Fuller's vision for Discovery. Like, I mean, I liked his idea of doing a.
I don't think it was realized.
I mean, his bald-headed Klingons and all those like ship retcons that they did, and now they're re-retconning it back. Trek Yards actually did a really cool video. They're talking their show where they showed
the D7,
and they're saying that looks like the Klingon Council, and so maybe they're proposing a unified Klingon Defense Force ship. Cool. And maybe that's why all the ships in Discovery look different and nothing looks familiar. And maybe they're going to all switch to the D7 type model for a unified Klingon Defense Force, which would be kind of interesting. But I mean, as much as Klingons as we got in the season one, we didn't get any real inner workings on why they do what they do. We just kind of saw them doing their day-to-day things. Like, we didn't get any explanation. Like, we didn't get the, like, because they promised us the explanation on why they were bald and how they fit in the canon. They didn't explain. There's no, like.
We got two dicks, though.
We got two dicks. That's the only thing we got from the Klingon side.
We saw
the
Klingon pee, and there was two dicks.
So, two streams. So that two streams equals two dicks.
Yeah.
Or at least two holes. two urethras. Something's going on there.
So
maybe he had some surgical issue. But it's interesting, and so I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it, and hopefully it won't be bad.
I hope it's not bad. I want it to succeed. I want all the Star Trek franchises to succeed. I just honestly, the longer I get away from Discovery, and the more time I have to think about it, I'm like, is that Star Trek or is that just some kind of crazy sci-fi show with Star Trek slapped on the top of it, you know? So, I don't know. Let's talk about some more bad Trek.
Yes.
Let's talk about Discovery. Voyager. Whatever. Let's talk about Voyager.
Speaking of bad Star Trek.
Yeah, bad Star Trek. So this is real life. This is season 3, episode 22. First aired April 23rd, 1997.
You know how it's bad?
Yeah.
Cass is still on the show.
Yeah, well, it's season 3, so she hasn't disappeared yet. So we have a wonderful, idyllic home, all human, and we get a mother, an older son, and a younger daughter, and they're all ready as
Daddy Dearest prepares to leave for work.
And they're all arguing who can hug him first.
Who can hug him first? I wish my family was like this.
Do you?
Not really, but some days. Some days.
It's preferable to how it really
some
is.
Days
some days, sort of.
It's just so unrealistic. It's so 1960s, 1950s television, you know, which obviously was just a farcical.
Oh, yeah, thing. It was.
So, and then we see the doctor come down, and he's, you know, he kisses them all off as he goes to work. And that's kind of where we get the idea that doctor has his a family, strangely enough.
I wonder how he got permission to do this. So, like,
and he's using a holodeck, like, nonstop.
He's using a holodeck nonstop.
Like, can't this just like, run within, like an internal computer? Like, he doesn't really have to be like, physically there.
Like with Moriarty.
Moriarty.
They could have just put him in a little computer that doesn't yeah. that doesn't use a whole lot of space. Because, I mean, like, it's crazy. Because, I mean, like, they're still on replicator rations, as we learn when Tom Paris later comes in to ask for pizza.
Yeah, I know. It's...
And so he's wasting all this power on a fake family.
I know.
And what if someone else wants to go skiing or kayaking?
And they're trying to suck up plasma through a straw in this episode because they need more energy for their replicators. I'm like, you got a guy freaking jerking off with a family that doesn't need to be doing that.
And just so everyone knows, holodecks use replicator technology all the time.
Yeah, that's all it is.
It's a replicator.
I mean, it gets put back into the Matrix after it's disintegrated, but it takes energy to run it.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid shit.
Why Voyager never... And then going back to the Hirogen episode, the game, where they're running... They're turning the entire ship into a holodeck. It's got somehow power for that, but they can't make food.
I know.
Which is ridiculous.
Let's just focus on the problems with this episode.
Sorry.
So we have the wife, Charlene, the older boy, Jeffrey, and the younger daughter, Belle. So he goes off to work, and then he materializes in sickbay. Kes is at the terminal, and he's just like, oh.
Kes is terminal?
Yes, she is.
I hope so.
She will be. She's sees them all happy. And
flashing children. I know.
And then... yes. Making... families of her own.
Yes.
Families in
jail. Ruining families of her own.
Making families in jail. So maybe she'll see Janeway in there. Right, that's sad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I feel bad for
Jennifer Lean.
Yeah.
Poor woman. Poor crazy woman.
So anyways, so the doctor's kind of happy on his hollow family, and he got a little smirk. I'm having... You know, like I said, like
I watch real good at the blowsies.
Like Father's Knows Best and Donna Reed and all that stuff, those old TV shows, it's just so saccharine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, ugh. I think what's her.
B'Elanna.
B'Elanna early on made a great point saying these are like lollipops. So it's hilarious, you know, that they would actually portray it like that. But I guess. Like I said, like if you're just a guy and you're just looking for a family that's like, you know, support you and to be there for you, that's probably like a wonderful thing. You know, you're like, you just want your wife to be, yes, dear. Okay, dear. And your kid's like, I love you, Dad. You know, so.
In a perfect world.
Yeah.
But it's almost not. It's almost creepy.
It is creepy. It's Stepford Wife's kind of style. So, all right. So then we get the Voyager was going to this alien space station full of scientists. 60 scientists, apparently.
69 scientists? No, just 60.
I think they just said 60.
Oh, not too bad.
Yeah. But anyways, when they get there, it exploded.
Because they didn't have enough to do the nasty.
No, they didn't. They're like, we need 9! So they didn't make it. So they're trying to figure out what is going on. So they start following this trail of a subspace signal leading away from it. And so Janeway's like, let's investigate. And we're like, uh-uh.
There's Janeway. Coughing in that trail.
Janeway, this is how you always get us in trouble.
This is why we never get home.
Why are we wasting our time with this? They aren't here. Nobody's home.
There should have been like so many mutinies on Voyager.
Not just that, but... tons of thoughts ran through my head. Like, what if this alien race shows up and blames you for blowing up the space station? What if the enemy is some insane, super powerful race and decides to blow you up when they show up? You are lucky that this is just some space anomaly.
that you can get sucked into and sucked out of with your itty-bitty shuttlecraft and all be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Go, Tom Paris.
So back in the sick bay, the doctor is with B'Elanna Torres, and she's doing some diagnostics, and she says that because he's tinkering with his program, she doesn't want to interfere with his systems because he's trying to better himself.
Better. I can't believe it's not better.
I can't believe it's not better, doctor. Anyways, so he brings up that he's got the family. He's been quite happy with it. And he invites B'Elanna and Cass for dinner.
Yes.
And they're going to sit down and have dinner.
Does that use up when your replicator rations for going to have dinner on
I mean,
on the
really?
Holodeck?
Does it?
It should.
Or Neelix should show up just unexpectedly and freak out the family. Like,
what is that? That's not in our database.
Anyway, so at dinner, Charlene is there with basically showing off the kids, you know, like... You know,
they're so smart.
Yeah, like the
they're going to get the best grades.
Yeah, I mean, what's his name? Jeffrey is like doing something to like filter out blood, some immune system out of his issue for blood.
Something that the doctor hasn't even invented yet somehow.
Yeah, he's making him run his experiments at school.
Absolutely.
Just make sure that your holodeck has all this. Run the equations. You stupid kid. And then Belle is doing some other amazing thing, you know, for what she is.
She does Parisi squares.
Parisi squares, right, with older kids. So, and then at
that's
one point,
how she rolls.
That's how I roll. B'Elanna just freezes program because she can't take it anymore.
It's so like stomach turning.
Honestly, you could kind of pin this whole episode on B'Elanna being so shitty, which I'll get back to later. I mean, what an awful
she
person.
She ruined the Klingon friends.
Not
too,
just, like, just, oh, she just did so many terrible things. Anyways. He says, you can't, this is not a normal family. These are just lollipops.
This is a fantasy. This is not real. This is not how.
Granted, she's right.
She is right.
But she, like, she could have turned it up to, like, maybe a 3 or 4, and she cranked it to 11.
Yeah.
She was, like, you know, full on, let's just like, rip this family apart.
Like, Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox turning everything up and, like, blowing the speakers out on those, like, speakers taller than he is.
Yeah. Anyways, so, but the doctor goes, oh, okay, yeah, I'll let you do that. That's all right.
That's fine.
You only emotionally ripped me apart. Although I'm just a program. Tom Paris then says that, Voyager's, the signals, that they're following, that subspace signal that tore up that space station is, thinning out, and they go to, see what's going on, like why anything could have interfered. And this is when a massive energy eddy shows up, which looks sort of like a black hole
It looks like a pulsar. But it's like a, space tornado.
Yeah.
But basically,
that's what it is.
But it's basically shaped like a pulsar. You've got the disc, and you've got, like, the lights, or it looks like two cones coming out of the side.
Right.
But it's, like, a whole bunch of space junk flying around inside of it.
So this appears out of
space
nowhere.
Space Twister! Where are we gonna get,
get away from the trailer park?
We gotta get our Dorothy things and put them up in the Twister so we can get a read on that Cat
Quit.
5.
Get Helen Hunt here.
And, what was his name? Oh crap! What's again?
I forgot his name too. Now
he's passed away. Rest in peace. What I can't.
Did he die?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he? Okay.
Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
Yeah, Billy Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
Yeah, Bill Paxton.
What did he die of?
I don't know, but he did.
Twister.
I have a twist titty twister.
No more Helen Hunt.
No,
knock it off.
Safe word. Safe word is the safe word.
There is no safe word.
Twister.
Twister.
Move.
So, yeah, so this energy eddy anomaly, whatever, shows up and shakes the ship up pretty bad. Does a little damage, but nothing too crazy. And that's when they realize that there's plasma that they could use to charge
for their replicators. And apparently Neelix has like the worst meal possible. And so everyone's like, we will literally die.
It's like shit casserole.
Yeah, shit casserole. Here you go. I will literally risk my life
to not eat shit casserole.
Not eat shit casserole.
But it's just Voyager. Oh, they're desperate for anything. And they're just like, oh. And Janeway's like, oh, this is the first time anyone has ever seen this from Starfleet. We might as well stay here and explore it some more. And she's like, oh, okay, but what about home?
Yeah.
No more shit casserole. We're getting the energy out of this thing.
I know, right? So in sickbay, Kes is, asks about the family. And Doctor says, well, the family program is going to just have randomized behavioral algorithms.
There's nothing random. Like, B'Elanna did this shit on purpose. Oh, she did not randomize anything.
If she did a random, like, remember, D&D has, like, the random encounter charts.
Yeah.
I mean, she rolled, like, she stacked it so, like, you get, like, the worst possible, like... You know, you're not just facing kobolds. You're doing like,
well, like it's like she rigged it so it can only roll a one on a d20.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, like, oh, you're gonna get the worst possible party you're gonna run into in the dungeon.
I'm sure she programmed his daughter to die too, and his friend have Klingon friends. Like,
oh, you know, all she worked that out. All the details.
There's nothing random. She totally planned this.
Yeah. So.
She's like, I'm going to sabotage this program so good.
See what happens when you don't have a constant doting wife? That's what's going to happen to your family, Doctor.
You're going to bleed.
You're gonna wish you died. So he goes into his holographic home, and he finds the house is completely disorganized. The wife is super upset because she's got to run to the Bullion Embassy, and she's looking for certain things. And there's music playing in the background.
It's like the most annoying three notes.
Yeah. It's the worst music possible. And
I wish it was Jen on the Klingon pop wire. That would have been good music.
That would have been cool.
That would have been great.
Would have been very cool.
Like 15, 18 years before she ever did that, though.
So his wife, Charlene, has to leave for the Bullion episode. Bullion embassy.
They're going to teach you how to cut hair.
Cut your hair. She did get her hair cut shorter later on. Yeah, no, this scene, her hair is shorter, so she has been messing with the Bullions.
Yep.
You do with a nice little cut, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I think you have to get your hair cut every time you go to the Bullion Embassy. So it just gets shorter and shorter.
Shorter and shorter. It's like, I just need to... They start skinning your scalp.
Until you become a Bullion. And they give you the seam.
Yeah, they'll seam across because they have to cut open your skull.
Yeah.
So she leaves, the wife leaves, Charlene. And this is when the daughter shows up, and she's got to do Parisi squares.
Can't find my shoes!
Oh, no, it's not her shoes. It's a mallet.
Mallet, yeah.
She needs to find her...
Your father will help you find it.
Her mallet for Parisi
squares.
She's
screaming at him. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
And then...
So it's transitioned from 50s and 60s sitcom to 90s sitcom.
Yeah, right, exactly. So then the son's blasting the music, the Klingon music. He asks him to turn it, you know, like, what is that music? It's, like, actually hurting my eyes.
And Belle's like, me too!
Me too! So then Larg and Kakath, both show up, Klingon adolescents, and he's like, Geoffrey's doing his homework. But no, Geoffrey's not doing his homework. He's whacking off to Klingon porn and listening to Klingon music. I bet he's doing this all for a Klingon woman.
Oh, probably.
Maybe he brought B'Elanna over, he's like, that's what I want.
That's what I want. I want them two holes. I want to be able to pick.
Pick.
Because I only have one penis.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Little bit of this, little bit of that.
Anyways.
I'm up all night to get some. I'm up all night to get lucky.
You're up all night to get lucky with B'Elanna.
Larg.
Larg just going to cock block you. Well, anyways, so he says, basically, Geoffrey.
Do you have two buttholes for gay Klingons?
That is a very good question. They might.
Because otherwise, it's going to be hard if they're gay Klingons.
So the Klingons just kind of walk right by him into this room. And then and Belle's just like, you're the worst dad ever. Mommy loves me more.
She would have helped me found my mallet. No, yeah. She went to the Bullion Embassy to get a haircut.
Yeah, that's what she went. Okay.
She's not helping you.
She's getting a haircut. And then we get to Paris, back in the mess hall looking for food. Neelix asks Paris if he wants food, but Paris is like, I don't want that casserole. But that's what he gets, because he's used up all his rations.
He's been on the holodeck too many times.
Yeah, I know.
Eating fast food in the 60s, probably.
Oh, and he gives him basically a turd on a plate.
It looks like shit. Shit casserole. It looks so bad.
He sees B'Elanna sitting, reading.
It looks worse than prison slop.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad. A Klingon romance novel, a Women Warrior at the River of Blood.
That sounds so romantic.
Yeah. And there's a couple little reading passages sexily
by Tom, and Tom's like, well, I need to read this so I can learn how to quicken your heart.
That's right. And
you can second deck, Tom. That's all you need to do.
And
bite me. Hit chop.
So anyway, so they basically have a little like flirtation thing. I don't know if this is the first time we see Tom in, flirting with B'Elanna, but Tom flirts with a lot.
Tom flirts with a lot of people, but I mean, I think they're building it here.
Yeah, trying to show that maybe something could have happened.
This might be after the Ponfar episode, and they kind of got close during the Ponfar episode. Well, whenever the
of course.
When the Vulcan was trying to bone B'Elanna, and she's like, no, I'm not interested.
Vulcan square.
Yeah.
Join my punk rock, man. No, you can't. You're Vulcan.
Ugh. What are you going to play? The recorder?
The lute? Or what is it? The harp?
The harp, yeah.
Anyways, so...
Or the bells on the elaborate thing.
Oh, yeah, those are great. Yeah, that's a great one. While they're down at the... Doing the little...
How many songs can you play on that?
Just Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bell Rock.
And Jingle Bell Rock. That's about it.
And the kill Your Captain song.
Kill Your Captain? Can you play that one?
No, just the ch-ch-ch whenever they're...
Oh. No, I would imagine it would be Jingle Bell and Always Something There to Remind Me. So I think those are the only two you can get for
White Christmas?
I don't think there's any bells on White Christmas. Mm. Not that I know of. So while they're doing that, there's another anomaly, and Janeway calls everyone to the bridge. Paris and Tom obviously run up there, and they start trying to ride into the gravitational eddy, or the eddy, the anomaly.
We're going to surf it, just like Helen Hunt did.
That's right. And then...
In that old movie.
In that old Twister movie. And Tuvok launches a probe, and...
Tuvok would be the one who launched a probe.
He did. And they start getting tons of information. Apparently, the interior is 9 million Kelvin. So how the fuck does Tom like live through that in the shuttlecraft?
Maybe just the barrier's 9 million. When it passes the barrier, is only 9 million. I don't know.
Well, anyways, but when they get in between subspace, there's a perfect and normal space, because this thing obviously lives in some kind of subspace. This anomaly comes out of subspace into normal space.
I wonder if they live with the clicky aliens from Schisms.
They might. They might.
Maybe they made the tornadoes. The twisters.
The twisters. The titty twisters.
Well, after they cut, you know, Riker's dick off and reattached it, I mean.
Sure enough, they did my work. It's...
It's off by a centimeter. That's why it hurts when I come harder.
No.
Doctor, can you fix it? No, there's nothing I can do.
Use these exercises.
Kegels.
Kegels. Inside there's like a perfect calm eye in the center, like a hurricane. So you got that.
In the eye of the tornado, you blow me away.
There you go. And so, but they're still interested in getting this plasma. And Tom Paris like, you know, Voyager possibly can't do this, but a shuttlecraft could.
Oh yeah, shuttlecrafts are so strong in Voyager. They've lost like 16 at this point.
And so he volunteers for it, and Janeway says, "Go do it." And
go get us our replicator rations.
He gets inoculated for radiation, and he starts heading off. But then he has, Paris says that the family is can be. They're talking about the doctor's family while with Paris, and he's kind of saying like, "You just take risks all the time." And
oh yeah,
the doctor's
talk to him like he's family.
Yeah, yeah. It's like all of a sudden like. Because the doctor's always been so detached. Now that he has a family...
He's super sensitive to everything.
He starts thinking about everything, which it happens. When you have a family, all of a sudden you realize, oh, you can't do that. You know, you if you have a mother or father or brother or sister, you know, that's not, you can't put them through that shit.
But Paris is like, whatever, man, I do what I want.
I do what I want. I'm the bad boy.
That's right. I was in prison in New Zealand.
I was planting plants.
That's right.
Doing hard time.
Hard time. Hoeing tomatoes. So the doctor goes back to his holodeck family, and he calls a meeting. And he basically just, like, tells her, it's like, you can't have Klingon friends. You can't do Parisi squares.
You should have some Vulcan friends. It's like, oh, you can't have any black friends. It's like, yeah, man, it's so racist.
You're so racist, doctor.
You're the 24th century. You should not be that racist.
And he tells his wife that there's certain, like, times that she can go to the bullying assembly.
And takes his daughter off the first Parisi squares team.
Yeah, because they're older kids. Yeah. Older kids.
I'm good enough to play with the first team, Dad.
Yeah, but, you know, they're bigger than you.
That's how I like it, Dad.
But then she... Wait, just think about this. Think about this. She says, well, if it's for the family, I'll do it. And then we know what happens afterward.
Yeah, the first one who's compliant dies.
Yes.
Or gets mortally wounded.
That's right. Mortally wounded.
I'm only mostly wounded.
So
I think I'll go for a walk.
His family meeting goes complete disaster. His son basically is like,
hates him. His wife hates him.
His wife's like, you can't just like dictate to us all these things just because that's what you want. It's like, what are you sacrificing? It's like, I'll make dinner. It's like, you make dinner anyways. What are you talking about? So he's just like, and the only thing was nice is that the daughter did go to him and say, you know, I love you, Dad, even though you screwed everything up, you know, so it was kind of sweet.
So he rolled higher than a 2 on that one.
Yeah. Didn't complete failure.
Meanwhile, you know what happens every now and then.
Every once in a while.
But he's getting ready to hit a 1 again.
Paris goes into the shuttlecraft. And he is going into this eddy. He gets into the turbulence, but then is pulled in and disappears from normal space.
Is he dead? No. Is this the last of Tom Paris? Find out next time on Star Trek Voyager.
I just like how, like, what's his name? I'm just thinking Garrett Wang. What is it?
Harry Wang?
Harry Wang.
Harry Kim.
Harry Kim is just like...
My best friend.
He's like, he's gone. You know, we don't talk about Kim that much anymore.
He hasn't been a big part of any of the episodes we've talked about lately.
I know. We used to totally bag on him so hard.
I mean, it's not been anything to bag on him about. I mean, last year was the year of Voyager, and we bagged on him a whole bunch last year.
Oh, yeah.
But this year, we've not done as much Voyager. Because this year was the year of Discovery, because we didn't like to lie about Discovery. We talk about Discovery a lot.
We did.
And still do, as we did today.
Yes. Sick bay, Kes goes back in sick bay. Kes tells the doctor, because he's distracted from his work, that because he's thinking about his family, she says, just go home early. There's nothing going on here.
No one's dead yet.
No one's dead. Tom Paris hasn't come back yet, all cut up.
He'll be fine.
So when he comes home, his son's like, Dad, what are you doing here early? Is that drugs on the table?
Are you masturbating with your Klingon friends?
No, Dad.
Do you feel inadequate?
We have a dagger. It's called a kutluch.
It's good.
I'm working on it. It's a ceremony to involve violence and bloodletting in preparation to become a warrior. And
his friends are trying to make him warriors.
So
good thing they missed the gang rape scene. He came in right after that. That's the beginning of becoming a warrior.
Is that what it is?
He's got to drop the soap first.
Oh.
That's the first step to becoming a warrior.
This is all we do, guys, to get a human. They're super easy. They're so gullible. They just want to be approved.
They want to be a Klingon. They want to be a warrior so bad they'll do anything.
That's right.
Good old Larg.
Larg. I'm hot for human ass. So he kicks
Ridged
out
for his pleasure.
So he kicks out Jeffrey's friends, and he's like, you know, you're gonna live by my value system while you're here. And he's like, oh, your value system is stupid. And he says, you're
a Spitak.
Yeah, honorless Spitak or whatever what he called him.
And he's like, well, I'm not gonna live under your roof then.
And he decides he's gonna take off.
He's gonna sleep with Larg again.
And then he gets a call from his wife Charlene.
What's wrong?
There's been an accident. There's been an injury during Parisi Squares.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
My daughter that I've known for 2 weeks.
She's getting her foots cut off.
It's a feet to cut
it's
off.
It's a double foot amputation, just like Holly. She's going to have a tube down her throat and everything.
And the surgeon is the Swedish chef.
He's operating with a Swedish fish.
Bork.
Oh, it's totally borked.
You totally borked that up.
I love how she's got no external trauma at all to her head. I've seen people with way worse head trauma and they turn out fine.
You have more head trauma.
On today's medicine.
And I'm just looking at you now.
I know, right? Like, I only have half an eye in my socket. Yeah, the other half's hanging out and I'm fine, it's you know? Fine. And they've got all this future technology and they can't fix her. I'm so like, I wish they had done some really bad makeup on her or something. Like, because, I mean, she looked totally fine. Like, I've seen people with way worse injuries, like, get fixed and, like, look fine after.
Well, you want to make her look cute, so you're just like, oh,
you
God,
feel sad,
little girl.
If she looks like Quasimodo, you won't feel sorry for her when
he'll
she passes.
Like, Father, I need to ring the bells.
Ring the bell, Daddy.
Get up in that church tower.
Borky, borky, borky.
Let's get to Notre Dame. So, at the hospital, the doctor tells the wife the situation. Basically, she...
I've done everything I can.
She's hemorrhaging in her brain, and every time they stop one, another one starts. So, basically, the computer program's like, yeah, your daughter's going to die. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, he's rolled a negative one on this one.
Yeah, right. There's some negative modifiers on there. Unable to face the pain when his daughter wakes up and starts asking questions. Oh, like, he just ends program.
Am I gonna die then? Why can't I see?
End program.
She's so cute.
End program.
Yeah, it's just like,
end program.
Click, click, click. Get me out of here.
I know. It's like a video game. Can't you just go back to the place you entered that level?
It's like, can we go back? Can I just ask her not to go to school that day?
Yeah. It's like, don't go to Prezi Squares today. Okay.
We're going to go fishing.
And then there's a huge fishing accident. Jaws comes and eats her.
Yeah.
Chews her feet.
Dies instantaneously. She bleeds out before she can get back to safety. Doctor doesn't have any tourniquets with him.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
You're going to need a bigger tourniquet.
You can't wrap her up with that. That's just a beach towel.
That's a Band-Aid.
Her abdomen's missing.
She can't do her Kegels anymore.
Kegels are done.
She is Kegel out.
It's fish Kegel food.
They say when your lower half is separated from your topper half, you'll Kegel for 5 seconds before it stops.
Oh, jeez. Stupid. So,
yes, it
is. Paris is. They're trying to talk to Paris on the shuttlecraft. He's basically in some weird storm world, just like endless clouds.
I'm in pink storm world.
This is going to be a really bumpy ride. So his plan is he's in this weird.
So many Kegels happening all around me in this pinkness.
In a weird like in between subspace.
And regular space.
And so he's going to fly into one of the larger eddies and go like, well, if I got in one way, I got to get in out the other way.
I'm going to surf it out, man.
And Janeway's like, I don't have a better idea.
Helen Hunt would, if only she was here.
Kegels.
And Bill Paxton.
So, Bill Paxton.
Game over, man. Game over.
Yeah, he did. Oh, I forgot about
Aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I remember that. It's great.
Game over, man.
Yeah, so he decides to fly into it, and it's
bumpy. Captain, it's going to be even bigger.
And it's a shitty ride.
So they beam him out, and they lose another shuttlecraft.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do they just make? That's why they're running out of rations, because they got to keep on rebuilding
shuttlecrafts.
After he treats Paris in the sick bay, he gets another scolding. He's like, you just do all these crazy things and, you know, you don't care.
You play Parisi Squares without a helmet.
And then he talks about his daughter's injuries and he's like, I just turned it off. I'm not going back to that. That's too crazy.
I can't deal with the pain.
And then,
the pain. I ain't got time to bleed.
I haven't got time for the pain. It's a song.
I gathered. I just don't know the words. I'm not going to try.
All right. That's good.
I'm learning. Slowly, guys.
I'm learning. So he...
Because I get made fun of when I say the wrong thing.
I have a pool noodle I just whack you with. Every time you get...
No, that's the wrong song.
Hey, I was listening to a song that you were proud
you
of.
You were.
I
was
listening to a good song.
I walked in to the studio here, and he's listening to Gordon Lightfoot, Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
I was listening to sad songs to get me into the mood for this episode.
Yeah.
Also, listen to Cats in the
Cats
Kettle.
Cats in the Kettle. Yeah.
And the Cradle.
Cats in the Cradle, yeah.
Both are excellent songs.
Cats in the Cradle, probably a better song than Cats in the Kettle. I'm just going to say that.
Cats in the Kettle is kind of funny, though.
I'm sure it is.
If you like Chinese food and cats.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So Paris says that a lot of people, crew members, would like to avoid that pain of their loved ones dying or just missing their family.
But you can't in real life.
Yeah, so you don't have control of the things, and you shouldn't shy away from it. So the doctor decides he will go back. And
face the pain. I need my pain.
I need my pain. So he goes.
If only Cyborg was here to help take the doctor's pain away.
Can he do that to a hologram?
I mean, Spock mind melded with Nomad. So I mean,
oh yeah, he did.
I mean,
I wouldn't do anything.
I wouldn't put it past the Vulcan. I mean, the Vulcan.
I think Spock just made that up.
He was just inventing. He was just making stuff up.
He's like, holy shit, this guy can do,
anything.
I got to keep this guy around longer.
Well, I mean, like, you know, and now Sarah can give part of his contract to Michael Burnham to keep her alive whenever she was near death at the thing. So Vulcans have, like, they
can mind meld, over millions of light years.
Millions of light years and whales.
Whales, yeah.
So. And Hortas.
Because, you know. Vulcans are magic.
Vulcan, like, if you need to figure out something, a Vulcan will figure out how to do it because they have magic.
Vulcan mysticism.
Vulcans are all like wizards.
They are sort of, aren't they? Because
they've got all these new powers that just like come out of nowhere.
They get more and more amped up, you know.
And the thing is, like, how does Tuvok not believe in the Katra? Like, he was alive during Star Trek V, which meant he would have been alive during Star Trek IV when Spock had his Katra put into him. How is that? How would he, like, that's not far enough removed for him not to be able to believe in it. It's like, oh, that was a myth. I'm like, Spock came back from the dead.
I don't know, but all I can say is that it seems like the Vulcans get, like, crazy more, like you said, more like wizards. More magical as time progresses.
Well, except in Voyager, because Tuvok doesn't have any special powers other than not falling in love with Lori Petty.
Well, you know, we all have our limitations. So the doctor goes back, and obviously the daughter, he picks up right where he left off, and the doctor's out.
Well, it rewinds just a little bit so she can ask all her cute dying questions that just rip out your heart.
And he basically says, yeah, you're dying. And then the family comes
There's
in.
There's nothing we can do.
The brother comes in like, hey, Dad, I'm back.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm back.
One of the things Tom says is that, like,
I just killed a man.
I just killed six. He's got blood all over him. He's killed, like,
he's like Carrie from Stephen King. He's covered in blood.
He's like killed 16 people in the school, but like they let him out because his sister's in the hospital. It's like, oh.
He just Columbined it, you know? He's just like with a knife.
Knife Columbine,
yeah. Yeah. And then there's this awful death scene. I'm only laughing at this because it's just so shitty. It's just like, and then they just show, like, you know, him. They're all crying and hugging each other. And,
Well, Tom's like, you know, it can bring you closer with the rest of your family after a tragedy.
And we don't see them again?
No, like, nothing. It just cuts, like, right after, like, she dies.
And then the Voyager flies off into space. And he's like, fuck you. Yeah. And that's how the episode ends. Dave, real life sucks. What do you think?
Real life does suck. Paying bills.
Paying bills, people dying,
rolling one on all your initiatives.
Every initiative I've ever had, one. Basic trip over my own shoelaces.
Fall on your own sword.
Yeah.
You seppuku yourself by accident.
There's another medical bill.
Oh, man. It's not a great episode. I don't hate this episode as much as you. I think it's fun. It's the fact that, like, it's the silly, like, over the top sitcom where it's like the lovey dovey that it's this, and then it goes into sad. I mean, it's really touching. I mean, it makes me choked up a little bit at the end when his daughter dies because it's such a fast turn from, like, ridiculously goofy to like high drama and sadness. So I mean, it's you know, and Robert Picardo sells it so good. I mean,
he's a wonderful actor. There's no denying that.
Such a good actor, and he pulls off the scene and the sad, and the girl pulls it off too. Like her like just desperate, dying, cute questions. It's cute, but it's like it just kills you a little bit inside.
You know, the wife, Sarah Lynn, I forgot her name right now. Wendy something. She's in Inner Space. Which is a great movie, and she's also in The Burbs with Tom Hanks. Remember that, where the neighbors are like Satan worshippers?
I don't think I saw The Burbs.
Oh, she's great. She's like this like hot like next door wife.
Well, she's real life friends with Robert Picardo, and she's they've known each other for like 20 something years. Oh. I mean, at this time they'd known each other for that long back in that time, and like they'd played husband and wife together against each other in several different things.
Yeah, she's got a very long resume, but yeah. But go ahead.
I mean, it's a.
What do you think about the whole Eddie thing with the what was the point of that being real life? Does that even tie into the A plot? Other than Tom taking chances for more rations,
it's literally the only way it ties in, because he's the one, because the doctor's so hard on him for taking all these risks because he's upset about his daughter taking risks.
Yeah.
And Tom's the one that makes him go and face.
Yeah, but anybody could give him that speech.
I guess.
Maybe not Cass because she's 3 years old. But
doesn't have that life experience.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know shit. I just learned to read last week.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess anyone could have. I mean, they could have written that for anyone to do, really. I mean, they could have focused even more on the doctor and the family. I don't know. It's Voyager. They strive for the mediocre. Like, it just, I don't. Like some of the other qualms we said about Voyager, it's just like, you know, like we're making fun of it the entire way through. It's like he's running the holodeck 24/7 for how long with this family?
Yeah.
They use his replicator technology.
Doesn't anybody else
have
to use
the holodeck? How many rations does the doctor have?
Yeah.
It's just, it's so crazy that they can use
them. Well, because he doesn't eat.
Oh, so he's using them all. Like, so yeah. He's built them up for 3 years at this point.
Yeah, he's just like,
so he can just waste them all.
Yeah, right.
I'm surprised they even allot them to him as a hologram.
Yeah, you're just a fucking hologram.
I don't know. There's so many like weird issues with Voyager, like weird inconsistencies and like why they do what they do. It's just Voyager. I mean, it's all I can do is shrug my shoulders and say, well, it's Voyager. The greatest thing about this episode is that ending and how it goes from silly to like high drama and Robert Picardo selling it. That's really the high point of the episode. Other than that, it's just kind of silly and goofy and not super redeeming.
Yeah.
Aaron, you've got lots to say about this. I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, I have many things. I got a lot of problems with you people. So, yeah, this is episode, honestly, just feels like a complete waste of time. It does not add anything to the Voyager repertoire. Same formulaic thing, some weird space anomaly. They go to discover it, and it's just a bunch of bullshit. Doesn't lead to him. Doesn't help him in at all. Doesn't make him go any further. Just waste more time. Puts the crew in mortal danger. The doctor having the family, although I still have qualms with the doctor. If he's sentient, he's technically the Voyager sentient.
Mm-hmm.
Just manifests itself as the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if the ship's alive, that's cool, but whatever. Sure, having a family and testing that out, it's an interesting idea, interesting exercise. B'Elanna basically making his son going through some, you know,
Klingon puberty
thing. Like, what the fuck is that? And then killing his daughter and making his wife, you know, just too busy for everything. I mean, it is real life, but it doesn't mean that everyone's real life. And let me just tell you, as a father, if anybody isn't, losing a child has got to be one of your greatest fears, period. Like, there's nothing that's more terrifying. You would rather die yourself than see your child harmed in any way or die. So, like, that is, like, the shittiest thing B'Elanna could have possibly programmed into that.
So, like, did he have, like, a thing where it warped him through, like, the entire of her childhood, his and the boy's childhood? Like, this is just, like, did he, like, warp through that, like, a day, and then we're just seeing it slow down? Like,
I'm assuming, like, there must have been little in-between scenes, maybe.
Well, I just mean, did he just create the family as is, and he just started living with them with, like, you know, partially grown kids? Like, did he, like... I don't know, it just seems like a weird experiment if he didn't, like, go through, because, I mean, like, the emotional attachment, like, I mean, like, I don't know, like, if he didn't, like, experience, like, the childbirth and like, that.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like, so it's not the same thing, just, like, I mean, like,
yeah,
why would he be that attached to it if, but we don't know. I mean, they just kind of drop us into it. We don't know what his experience was before.
And does the doctor really feel emotions? I mean, these are things that, like, even Data never really felt emotions until they put the emotion chip in.
Well, holograms are more advanced than Data, apparently.
God.
Look at Moriarty.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of things, like, with sentient that, you know...
Why can't they just build in some holodeck code into Data and get him his emotions? Why does he need hardware? I mean, it's just... Data's supposed to be the most advanced cybernetic thing ever. Like, he's got stuff that helps fix the Enterprise.
Yeah.
But, like, they can't just build in some code to him.
It's got to be a more vastly... advanced ship than Voyager.
No, Voyager's more advanced.
Is it?
Voyager's newer.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Voyager had those gel packs.
Yeah, gel packs. Gel cooling packs.
Gel cooling packs. They're like neurotransmitter. Like, we've got actual brain things that grow inside these packs that, like, make Voyager faster and smarter. Yeah, Voyager's a more advanced ship.
I just don't see how this possibly helps the narrative. It's not even an exposition that much on the Doctor, other than the Doctor putting him in some weird situation.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with Voyager. There's very little character growth, like, episode to episode. It's because that's the 90s. It's episodic television.
I guess I don't expect, like, every episode to be like, you know, your characters are going to change.
If you want growth, you got to watch DS9.
DS9. I mean, even TNG, you see growth. I mean, like, you know, obviously, Picard goes through his whole Borg thing, and, you know, he goes, has relationships, and, you know, Q shows up over and over again. Even Riker goes through some things, you know, Troy. They all do. Data. Holy shit, they all do. I mean, it's not every episode. Mm-hmm. But this is like a throwaway episode. Like, this episode literally did not need to be.
Voyager's a throwaway show.
But there's some great Voyager episodes.
There are some really good episodes of Voyager, like the planet one, the Earthbreaker, Lightbringer. Yeah, that episode was great.
There's some lot of good episodes in Voyager, but this one was just, I hated every minute of this. I tried to get
better or worse than Threshold.
Threshold's entertaining. You know?
Well, the thing is, Threshold doesn't fall apart to the last 15 minutes, and the last 15 minutes destroys everything that came up.
Threshold's entertaining for a lot. It's got sort of like that...
the horror-ish vibe at the beginning. The
horror thing, like an 80s horror thing going on, which is interesting. And then, you know, obviously, they turn into salamanders. So, I mean, that's just fun. Just period. It's stupid, but it's fun. You know?
Yeah.
It's funny.
They have salamander babies.
Salamander babies. Get in that pond. Swim, swim, my babies. Swim, my babies.
And they germinate fast.
And maybe that's what the new Picard episodes are going to be. Those salamander babies coming back.
They go out and find them. We've got to find the salamander babies.
We are vastly more evolved than you.
Slurp, slurp.
Slurp, slurp. I don't know. This episode is just so stupid. I hate it. I hated it. There's nothing good. There's nothing redeeming. The A plot, the B plot don't even coincide. They don't make any sense. Tom Paris obviously just risks his life to fly into subspace and find out we don't even find out if he got any of that plasma that he was chasing.
Nope.
We don't even know.
No resolution there.
No.
We don't find out if he gets to have a pizza or not.
No pizza for you, Tom Paris. It's more casserole.
More shit casserole.
Shit casserole from Neelix. Ugh.
I just pooped it out this morning.
I pooped it this morning. Man, I've been eating as much as I can. I don't know. Yeah, this episode could just basically just be set on fire.
Die in a vacuum.
Set on fire, and I'd be all right with it. I don't know. It plays up to a lot of terrible things. I mean, like, the daughter was the only thing I liked about that family, and then they killed her.
They killed her.
And, you know, the wife, you know, I get it. She's busy. Most wives are busy, you know, most moms are busy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you can't expect her to be Donna Reed. That's the other thing I was thinking about this episode was, you know, our expectation of families, male expectation in real life. Mm. You know, that's how, you know, like, who were you in that family when you were growing up? Were you more of the daughter? Were you more of the son?
Mm. I don't know. I mean, like, they're both such far extremes. I don't really fall on either of them. I don't.
So you
think.
Weren't the beginning son. You weren't the last son. You weren't the.
I mean, I was the firstborn. I mean, I'm the oldest of seven.
Were you like, yeah, Dad, whatever you say, Dad? In the beginning.
Oh, you mean the beginning or the end? Probably more the end. But I mean, like, I mean, we had to be really good. He was a pastor's kid. I mean, like, you know, when we when we messed up, it was like it was really bad. But you know. Yeah. I mean,
cut a switch from the tree,
something like that. don't spare the rod. It was very
brand you with the propane tank and open flame.
Oh man, so many wooden spoons were broken.
I got the wooden spoon too.
They would also just buy dowel rods and just like
spank dowel rods.
Yes, spank us with those.
We were by a lumber yard.
Yeah. Just get a dowel. Like, it's about the same thickness of the spoon, but just yeah. Instead of a spoon, having this a straight stick. My brother was a pro at, like, tying his butt at the right moment and breaking them. Like, so he'd, like, lessen the pain by snapping it with his butt.
His butt cheek.
He could just, like, snap
it. Amazing muscle control.
I did not master that ability.
No.
But my brother was able to, like, mediate that with his stick-breaking butt.
I did get to a point where my mom realized that spanking was not doing anything to us.
Oh man, like I hated like growing up and like I guess I was always wiggly in church.
Yeah.
So like I hated Sunday because my dad was a preacher and I was always wiggly in church. And so like for the longest time, like from like grade one to grade three, I dreaded going to church because like every Sunday I got a spanking because I was like I wasn't still enough or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, come on. I dreaded Sundays because it's like, oh man, I'm getting a spanking today because I always got.
I knocked over the sacraments a couple times by accident.
Oh yeah,
I walked by the wine and knocked it over. Knocked it over.
Well, the thing is, like, I would set up the wine. I would like pour. I would pour the wine into the thing.
I did it twice by accident. Yeah, that was pretty bad. And
I set up communion, and I'd still get a spanking after church was over.
You didn't set up fast enough.
I'm sorry, Dad. It's because I was wiggly in church. I just can't sit still. I have a hard time sitting
still. So my dad was never really involved with church. My mom took us, obviously.
How did you get close enough to the sacraments and knock them over twice?
Well, it was like beforehand, and I was running around like a crazy person. So, yeah, I should
have. You get spanked after church, too?
I'm sure I did. I don't remember. I got spanked a lot, but yeah, whatever. It would get to the point, like I said, at a certain point, and I think I was probably not quite a teenager yet. Maybe like I was like 11 or 12. My mom realized that spanking was not.
Oh, at that age. Yeah. At that age, you just got to.
Because I would just like, I just muscle through it. I'd be like, yeah, okay. You're going to hit me like, what, 10 times, whatever it was. You know, I'd be like, I can take it.
Yeah.
And I could, you know. And then she realized we weren't like, yeah, woo, ha, ha. We weren't doing that anymore. So,
yeah.
So then she, you know, start punishing us with other tactics, obviously.
Taking things away,
yeah,
grounding, something like that. That's pretty much switches when you're like 12, 13, because I mean,
yeah,
then you're big enough so your mom's not going to be able to hit you very hard,
right?
Like, even if she's trying, like, it's not going to really do anything, especially if it's going across your butt. I'm like, yeah, it's like the biggest muscle in the body, it's not going to bother you anymore. But I mean, like, but this was when I was like, you know, like first to third grade, so it was still something I was scared of.
Strangely enough, with my kids, I've barely ever spanked them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a thing you do anymore. It's only like, as I'm only admitting it, that these are like when the kids were like way out of control, and I didn't like spank them. I like basically squat them on the ass like once or twice just to get them moving. But like, you don't do that anymore. It's not a thing. It's honestly
Child Protective Services.
I'm not joking, man. It's,
oh yeah, I know.
It's a different world. Like, so we grew up in a totally different world, and you're going to find yourself when you get become a father, you'll be wanting to spank them, and people are like, no, you don't do that, you know. So
and start grounding them early.
Yeah, be like, you don't get any birthday cake, whatever. But
yeah,
it's
it's a different world. So, I mean, it's for good, too. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't want to beat the shit out of your kids. But, yeah. I don't know. I was a good kid. I didn't do anything too crazy.
I mean, I was mostly a good kid. But I get spanked for stupid stuff, like wiggling too much in church.
Yeah.
Like, it's uncomfortable. The pews aren't like sofas.
Church is the worst.
It just be sitting there, perfectly still. And we sat in the front row, too, so the entire... Cause, you know,
basically, from, like, everything up to, like, I don't know, maybe 15...
I get spanked for bad grades and all sorts of stuff. I get spanked all sorts of times.
But you know what I mean.
But I mean, it wasn't like I did anything. It wasn't like I did anything like bad. I wasn't like, you know, like, you know, I never like did anything crazy that where I would get.
I did things crazy later on, but my parents didn't even know about it.
Well, that's how you do it.
Yeah, when I was later on, it's like in my later teens, I did a lot of crazy shit, but. As a young kid, I didn't really do anything that bad. I mean, I did a couple bad things.
Well, my brother was with some of our mutual friends. Luckily, I wasn't with them, and they decided to steal stuff from Walmart, and they got caught.
Nice.
And so my dad like started losing sleep really bad after that. And I'm like, I'm glad I wasn't with them because I'm like, I did not want to get caught doing that kind of, 'cause I didn't do that kind of stuff. I mean, like, I was probably the least bad out of my siblings, I think.
My brother, my middle brother. Him and a bunch of friends put a fake bomb in the bathroom of school and called in a bomb threat to get school canceled. And the police came, and it was basically a tackle box filled with wires. And they lifted his fingerprints off the wall. And he had, like, court procedures and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Dad was, like, livid with him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so, a special kind of... I never did anything like that.
It's just like, he was like, I know a way to get out of school. Call it a bomb threat.
Well, I mean, I remember getting lots of bomb threats at my school growing up, and we'd have to march out into the field and just wait for hours and hours.
It's really hot here. Can we have an umbrella? Shut up!
It was Louisiana, so yeah, it was very hot.
Yeah, I didn't do anything really bad like that. I mean, I got in some fights in school and everything, but nothing crazy. But... Yeah, I think I was a pretty good kid. It's only until I think I hit like 16 or 17 I started getting a little crazy. So.
Funny story, and this is sort of Star Trek related and like growing up in school related. Like, since Vulcans didn't show emotion, my friends, we'd like try to hurt each other and try to like not show any pain or any emotion. Like, we're doing it the Vulcan way. We're like just going to take pain. Like, we hit each other with books. We'd pinch each other. We'd do all sorts of stuff and just like try to ignore
it. Did you come up with the Vulcan way thing?
I think we all kind of like... It might have been me.
I'm sure it was you.
Probably me.
They'd be like, I don't know what the fuck a Vulcan is, but all right.
Well, no, like I wasn't a popular kid, believe it or not. And I hung with the other kind of geeky kids.
Hung out with the other nerds, yeah.
Yeah, so like, yeah, I think it was a mutual thing, but we decided like, oh, let's experiment with pain. Like, we'd hit each other, pinch each other, we'd do
books.
So
you were your own pain sticks.
Yeah, we'd do, yes. It's like we're merging Klingon and Vulcan ways as 12 and 13 year olds. I'm like, hit me with the books. And then I'm like, okay, that didn't hurt. Use the spine. That hurt. Getting hit with a spine on a hardback book, school textbook, that was not fun.
I imagine it did.
That's a lot more mass behind it.
I don't know. It's just I think back and I think most kids are pretty good. There's a few bad eggs, but it's like you think back, your parents are trying to keep you in line
mm-hmm.
and trying to teach you some kind of, you know, type of person they want you to be in this world. And it's hard to corral them. I can tell you from experience.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But I mean, it was even harder as like a pastor's kid, because like, growing up, because it's like you had to be extra good, because like it's not. I mean, people always look at the father, oh, if the kids are good or not. But
your
like
kids are out of control.
But as a pastor's kid, like we had to be extra good. It was like important. It's important, you know, to be good for your parents, because your parents feel bad. But I mean, like as a pastor's kid, it was like turned up to 10.
Yeah.
On that level, so it was. Really intense growing up.
I don't
up.
Imagine you doing anything too bad.
No, I was a good kid.
Yeah. So.
Mostly good kid, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure you did a couple naughty things, but nothing too bad. Nothing too bad. Yeah, so it's strange. That's the one thing that struck me about this episode is, you know, the perception of what you think married life's going to be and what it's not and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe...
It's like Voyager trying to do a sitcom.
Yeah, but maybe this is like... You know, maybe B'Elanna's version is more real, but then it just made it, you know, like making...
Super dark.
Super dark, yeah. Like, this is sort of like, you know, tragic, so...
Torture porn.
Yeah.
For parents.
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah. It's bad. It's not a great episode.
No.
It's well acted, though.
Well.
By Barbara Picardo.
Yeah, that's about it.
And the girl. She was
good. Yeah, no, besides that, but...
This is the only redeeming parts of the episode, I think. But yeah, it doesn't do anything to further the plot. It doesn't.
And I'm going to tell you, as a dad and of basically an older, has the older son and the young daughter.
Yeah, you've got that family.
I have that family. And it's like, I'm like, no.
How many Klingon friends does your son have?
None yet, but I'm sure they're coming. So we'll have to see.
Now that Klingon's on Duolingo, he might get some Klingon friends soon.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I don't think he'll do that.
They don't have Vulcan on Duolingo, though.
No. They've only very little Vulcan figured out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's all I really got to say about Real Life. Sorry you, if you watch this, I'm sorry.
I feel your pain.
I feel your pain.
I need my pain.
I need my pain.
Cybok.
I would actually watch Star Trek V over this. At least it's better.
Well, Star Trek V is, like, so bad it's good in the way you can laugh at it.
There's some fun parts to it.
It's got some fun parts. It's just dumb.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
That's this issue with Star Trek V is just it's so dumb. Yeah.
There's a lot I'd watch over this. So I don't know.
This was bad. Well, we'll pick a better episode next time. Or maybe we'll do something, because we want to do Cat's Paw for Halloween. But maybe we should do Event Horizon next week as a lead up to Halloween.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you want to do Event Horizon?
We could. We could look into it. Yeah, yeah. If
because that way we could do like a more a sci-fi horror movie before we get into Cat's Paw, like 2 weeks of Halloween instead of just 1 week.
Sure, I don't mind. I don't care. It's fine. It's cool. Yeah. Anything better than this?
We can watch Sam Neill get blood on him.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
All right. Well, that was Real Life from Voyager.
So real shitty.
Well, it's a horror episode, right?
It is.
So we're leading up to Halloween.
Yeah, your daughter dying.
Your daughter
dying. Complete horror.
Yeah.
Your son making friends with Klingons.
And B'Elanna wrecking your program. I mean, this is horror through and through this episode.
She just pissed all over that program.
Oh, I'm sure she did with her two urethras.
There you go.
Or maybe she only has one and a half and she's only half.
Yeah, how's that work?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
I notice her makeup changes drastically.
It does. Like if you look at like just get on Netflix right now. Like after you're done listening to this episode, like as soon as you get home or whatever, if you can get Netflix at work or whatever, as long as you're not driving.
Yeah.
Pull up a season one episode, scroll through till you see B'Elanna. Pull up a season 7 episode, scroll through till you see B'Elanna.
Totally different.
Completely different ridges and makeup and everything. Like,
yeah.
Like she, like, it be, in the first season, she looks kind of, like, rougher and not as pretty. And, like, she, like, they fixed her ridges, and she's, like, she looks really attractive by the end of, like, 7th season.
Yeah, she's like, I'm B'Elanna. And then, like, before, she's like, I'm B'Elanna.
I'm B'Elanna. And then, like, I mean, like, and the thing is, like, you know, Roxanne Dawson, she's a pretty lady, but I almost like her better, like, with, like, season 4 post-ridges versus season, like,
you
versus, like, none.
Custom.
I've become accustomed to it. It's like when I see her without ridges, I'm like, oh, she's not as pretty anymore. I'm so used to
Put the
her.
Ridges back on.
Yeah. She looks really good with her ridges. Pretty lady.
Pretty lady.
Do look like a Klingon lady.
Pretty lady, talk to me.
That was good. But yeah, this is not the best episode, but you know, this is slowly starting our horror theme going into Halloween.
I guess.
Sort of. It's a horrible episode. You couldn't say anything good about it. So it's horror, sort of.
Horrible. I guess, yeah.
Horrible.
We do horror, yeah. Right.
I hope you enjoyed the spooky episode of Voyager.
Yes, everyone's going to die.
Especially your daughters.
Your daughters. Oh, God.
Don't let her play Parisi Squares. That's the moral of this episode. Yeah, yeah. Never let your daughter play Parisi Squares without a helmet.
Always put a helmet on.
I own a new bike and motorcycle. Aaron face planted the microphone.
Ugh.
All right. Well, all our music is provided by Warp 11, except for our intro. That's provided by Dave Wilkes. The show you can find online at Synthaholics.com. You can join the Facebook discussion at Facebook.com/group/Synthaholics. You can check out our YouTube channel at YouTube.com/Synthaholics, where we've got our podcast, and I put up those 2 weeks I was gone. I did put that to good use, and I made cosplay videos from RockCon and from Buffalo Comic Con, so you can check those out and give those some likes and comments. That would be fantastic. On Twitter, the show is at Synthaholic Duo. Personally, I'm David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird2004. And Holly, who's not with us, is at Lunar Thistle.
Hope your feet get put back on.
Hope they put those back on soon.
I do too. Please go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us. It helps us be seen by more viewers and gets us out there to more people. Also, if you have any money you would like to throw our way, we greatly appreciate it. Go to
Make It Rain.
Make it rain, baby. Patreon.com/Synthaholics. It's a great way to give us a little helping hand to keep the show going.
It's been a big help. We've had to buy multiple cables that have failed on us, and hopefully the show's still sounding good. Last week, we used new cables that sounded good, so hopefully, fingers crossed this week, the cables are still holding strong.
Not garbled.
Not wormholed.
Not wormholed is right. Also, the best way, if you can't do any of those two for whatever reason, we would definitely appreciate if you told a friend, told your mom. Just let people know that the Synthaholics is a podcast that talks about your family being torn apart.
By a tragic death.
By a tragic death.
And occasionally Kegels.
And Kegels and pointless plot, B-plots.
B-plots and Discovery News and you know, debaucherous humor sometimes, you know.
Yes.
It's just, this is what we do. We're here to serve you, and we're here to serve those who haven't listened to us yet.
So. To serve man.
To serve man.
That's great, great.
Butt up in the air.
Well.
Not that way.
Well, maybe, but I don't know. Not for everyone.
We'll have to add a new Patreon tier. That's going to be really high tier.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like also the running through the forest naked. That's
yeah.
Another, that's
nobody, another we nobody wanted that.
But we haven't put that on there yet. So, I mean, yeah. We don't know what the kind of demand there is for that yet. So.
Yeah, I guess we'd have to find out.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Miles aside of Mars. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
The worst episode ever.
Worse than... I think this was one of Faith's Fave 5, though.
No, it was not.
I think it was on there. I think we've mentioned this briefly. I think it was on one of her... Because she also picked when the bell breaks.
And the bell breaks is different, though.
But it's not great.
And she only... Yeah. She was pretty bad. I liked it when the daughter died.
And that was my favorite part. It's my favorite. She was screaming about her eyes twitching. I'm like, oh, I was waiting for them to stop.
I can't see anymore. Well, thank God. Oh,
all you saw was death and decay. You don't need to see that no more.
It's all gone. It's all gone.
Gone.
Yeah, pretty shitty.
Oh.
I hated this episode so bad.
I'm sorry. Check 3-4.
Baby, why don't you meet me in the middle?
The middle of what?
I'm losing my mind just a little. The middle means vagina.
Ooh. How is she going to meet you in the middle if she's the one with the vagina?
She removed a couple of her ribs so she can bend over like that.
Oh, Marilyn Manson style.
Yes.
You're both going to go down on her.
Well, you know, two tongues are better than one.
This is true. This is true. Welcome to Synth... Oh, that's weird.
Poopers.
Poopers.